We'll do beginning of Parshas Kisisa. Okay. Very difficult Parsha. Okay. Especially if you marvel said with Rashi. It's very difficult. From the very beginning. The psukim just don't, the psukim and the ideas just don't seem to work out. I mean, just to start from the first pasuk, Ki sisos rosh bnei Yisrael lefkudeihem, v'noslu ish kofer nafsho lot Hashem b'fkodosom. V'lo yiyah b'hem neget b'fkodosom. Alright, I mean, the plain shot. I mean, it doesn't even say that you should do, that you should count them. I mean, then it says, Zeh yitnu kol arva lapkudem, machza shakal b'shakal akadosh. But you see, the Torah is more concerned with the manner of counting than with the very mitzvah itself. I mean, the first pasuk should be Zeh yitnu kol arva lapkudim. In other words, you start off with what's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to count the people, and then how you count the people. Ki sisos rosh bnei Yisrael lefkudeihem, lefkudeihem. When? Where? What? Doesn't say anything about when you do it. So apparently we see that the Torah somehow is more concerned with the method than the mitzvah itself. I mean, it's a strange kind of a pasuk to begin with. Okay, when did this count take place? When were you supposed to count? All right, Rashi works it out, but it's ikar chosam and asefer. I mean, and from the Torah itself, you don't see. There are a lot of problems here. I mean, I'll tell you one problem. I thought the cutest problem is raised by the Teretz Mima. He says, how could the puzzle Oshula Yarbeva Dalo Yamit Mimachsa Shekel? So he asks a simple question. He says, if the Machsa Shekel is to count, so if the Osh is going to be Marba and the Dal is going to be Mamit, how are you going to know how many there are? I mean, the Osh will give 5 shekels and the Oni will give a quarter of a shekel. I mean, how are you going to know what the Schum is? Okay, I mean, it's a good question. Counting. I mean, I can't tell you it's not counting. It's counting. Okay. Yeah, he gives an answer. His answer he wants to say is that the usher and the oni would get together, and the usher will give a little more, and the oni will give a little less. It will come out to the same quantity. It's cute, very cute. Yeah, but the kasha is a good kasha. I mean, the kasha is a good kasha. The answer, I mean, is already a teretz. But that's be a better answer than that, in my opinion. Okay, but anyways, okay. So first of all, so the parsha talks about, seems to be talking about counting, and the parsha doesn't even mention, as I said before, to count the mitzvah to count. But let's go further, and the parsha becomes even more difficult because the parsha says. In the very first pasuk, I mean, v'nosnu ish kofer nafsho lot Hashem b'fkodosam, okay. But this idea of kofer and kapara is repeated throughout the parsha. Okay? Ha'oshe lo yarbe v'adal lo yamit mimachsis ha'shoko l'seis is trumas ad Hashem l'chaper al nafsho secha. So, where do we see, I mean, that kesef is a machaper? I mean, kesef is not a machaper. Machaper is kabonis is machaper. Okay? But kesef is not a machaper. That's a big problem. The lakachto es kesef hakipurim. What's kesef? Just a second. That's why somebody killed somebody. It's a different order. Nothing to do with it. This is karbana. This is tzibur, and the tzibur you can't have a kapara by giving a half a shekel. I mean, there's no such kapara. Kapara is karbanas. It's a klal. The lakachto es kesef hakipurim. What's the kesef hakipurim? Okay. Vinasato so alavoda so al moed. What is that? What is nasato? I mean, the plain shot in the pasuk is just almost impossible to interpret. Okay, so fortunately, I mean, you have Rashi explains that really there are three trumas here in this parsha. Three trumas in this parsha. Okay, one truma is the truma la donut. Means that they all contributed the machzis hashekel for the adonim. That held up the crushim, bottom of the crushim of the gold for the Adonim. Okay, he maskikar kesef latzekes. Okay. So that's one. The second truma there was the machzis hashekel that they gave in the chomash kapakudim in Bamidbar. Okay, that machzis hashekel was given for what? For kabanas. Okay, machzis hashekel was given for kabanas. And the third truma was the truma that was given later in Sefer Shemos, which was Kol Ish Asher Nesol Libo. Each person gave whatever they wished. I mean, according to their capabilities, their financial abilities. Okay, so Vayova Kol Ish, Evo Kol Ish Asher Nesol Libo, V'Chol Asher. This is in Sheni and Vayakel. V'Chol Asher Nod V'Rucha Oso Avias Trumas of Hashem L'Mlachas Omer V'Chol Avos L'Vigdei Hakadosh. So that was the third truma. So the parsha becomes difficult to read, basically. I mean, it's for instance, I mean, you say, what's Kesef HaKippurim? Kesef HaKippurim is not the Adonim. Rashi, what is the meaning of Kesef HaKippurim? So Rashi explains the meaning of Kesef HaKippurim is where's the kapara? Like I said before, you can't have kapara with kesef. So Rashi explains the kapara is the kesef that was given for the kabbanis. Okay, kesef for kabbanis, the kabbanis are the machapas, not the kesef that's the machapas. Kesef HaKippurim means the kesef that's given for the kabbanis, which are machaper. Because what's machaper is not kesef. What's machaper is the kabbanis. And kabbanis ha-tzibur is machaper for the tzibur. So l'kachto as kesef ha-kippurim, it means the kesef that's given al shem kapara. Why? Because this kesef is designated for kabbanis, and the kabbanis are machaper. Okay? But the kesef for the adonim is not a machaper. It has nothing to do with kapara. So the parsha itself, the Pshuto Shel Mikra, becomes very difficult to understand here. I mean, what were they really doing in Kisisa? In Kisisa, it was really they were taking the Kesef for the Adonim, basically, and the Trumas on Mishkan, the other two. That's really what was taking place. But you'll notice that the emphasis of the pasuk is on the Kesef HaKippurim and the Kapara, and also Kofer Nafsho, Kapara. But the main thing at that point was that was done later. That was B'chodesh HaSheni, the money that was given for the kabbanis. But at this point, I mean, what was the purpose? The purpose was for the being in a Mishkan. Okay, so that has nothing to do with Kippur. So the Pshuto Shel Mikra is really against what the way Chazal interpret and explain the pasuk. Okay. So that's the first problem. The second problem, I should say. But then, of course, there's another problem, because Chazal say, if you take a look, let's go back to the first pasuk again. So the first pasuk is Rosh Meisof Kudam V'Nosli Ish Kofer Nafsho Lad Hashem Bifkodosom. What is this negef? What is the magef? I mean, it sounds like you say a drushes chazal, but it's an open pasuk. What's this negef? So, of course, Rashi says, because it's a problem of ayin hara, and he makes a reference to the time of Dovid HaMelech, when Dovid HaMelech counted the people, and because of that, there was a magefa. I mean, if you go no further than that, you have no conception of what's going on in the parsha. I mean, what's going on? Yeah, actually, we're very fortunate, because the way to unravel this pasuk, we're very fortunate, because we have Rashi's reference. I mean, just stop here. Some kind of a mystical notion of counting an ayin hara, and David Melch didn't know about this fact. I mean, it sounds crazy altogether. David Melch didn't read the pasuk. It's an open pasuk. The notion of lo yevan negev of kodesh comes out, if you just superficially, the way most people understand the parsha, is a strange kind of thing. Comes out, David Melch didn't know the pasuk. I mean, lo yevan negev, he didn't notice. It's impossible. But of course, if you actually, this is, we have a wonderful opportunity here, because the Divrei Nevi'im, really, that Rashi's making a reference to. You have to look into it. Rashi doesn't mean just to stop there. Rashi's making a reference to what went on in the Navi, and we're very fortunate because the Navi really explains. If you understand the Navi well, you understand the Parsha. This Parsha can be understood properly if you make the correct reference, the correct interpretation of what went on in the Parsha with Dovra Malach. I mean, that's extremely important to understand that. Understanding that, we'll give an understanding of the Parsha. But, okay, we'll get to that in a second. But there's a question, I think, that has to be framed at this point. What's the question that has to be framed at this point about the Parsha? About this Parsha? Very simple. I mean, the Parsha seems to be including two different things. Two different themes that seem to be unrelated. One is how you count the people. Okay, let's just take Pshuta Kamashmo. That is a magefa. If you count the people by heads without the machzis hashekel, so there's going to be a terrible magefa. Okay, that seems to be one theme of the parsha, the very first pasuk. And the second theme of the parsha seems to be a separate halacha of what? Of truma. Of giving support, giving the gold and for the Mishkan, for Hakamas Mishkan. They're two different things. One is not shechus to the other. I mean, and the Torah really puts these two things together. It seems to have no relation one to another. Two separate things. I mean, that's really the problem in the parsha. Really get down to it. It's two completely different things. The first pasuk is talking about something completely different, about avoiding a magefa through counting the wrong way, and the rest of the parsha seems to be talking about Shemasa Mishkan. Okay. Yeah. Oh, so basically, what I just want to start with an idea, I mean, that we've expounded on many times in the past. And that is that the idea that Chazal say when people question Chazal, how many Torahs do you have? So Chazal said, two Torahs. We have Torah Shebachsav and Torah Shebalpeh. You'd think, I mean, the Kofrim, according to them, Chazal never should have said that. He should have said one Torah. Two Torahs sounds bad. That's you're giving a place for all the upper courses to come. They see that? Yeah, they made up the something of it. So Chazal should have been more clever, and they should have said one Torah. No, but Chazal said the truth. And the truth is two Torahs. Shtei Torahs. Why? Because there are two different types of Torah. One is Torah Shebechsav. In Torah Shebechsav, the emphasis is on the philosophical ideas of perfection. Torah Shebalpeh is the science, the unique science of halacha. The unique science of halacha. That's the Torah Shebalpeh, and that's what I mentioned many times in the name of the Rav, that's something which cannot be written down because it's impossible to put it in writing. You cannot put in writing a methodology. A methodology can't be put in writing. You can only put in writing certain facts that result from a methodology. You could have a book of mathematics. It's not this, the book of mathematics is not mathematics, it's the results of mathematical thinking. Book on physics is not physics, it's the results of physics. So Torah Shebalpeh really is a method of thinking, a method of analysis. You can't write down a method of analysis. You can only write down the results of the method. So really Torah Shebalpeh is a whole way of thinking, a unique science and a unique type of thought. And this type of thought, you can't write it down. I mean, you could just have the results of the process and the method. That's why it's really Torah Shebalpeh. The separate halacha that you're not allowed to write down even the results, that's a different reason the Rambam gives why you're not allowed to write down the results. But basically, Torah Shebalpeh is not neatly kasher. Torah Shebechsav is. Torah Shebechsav is a different kind of a thing. Torah Shebechsav is basically the philosophy of the Torah, Ashkafas Olam of the Torah, of Yadas. So really, when the Torah was written, the Torah is written in an ingenious manner where both exist simultaneously, and that's why when you look at a Parsha, it seems strange. But whenever a Parsha seems strange, it means, like Chazal saying, Eina Mikra Azel Omer Ela Darshani. I mean, you have to look into it. You look into it, then you see exactly how it was put together. Yes. Hey, speaking of methodology, bottom line is a very individualistic kind of thing. I said it means it involves human creativity. I mean, somebody could not put in writing how Einstein approached the problem. Can't put it in writing. I mean, it's something which exists internally in the individual. Different individuals at different degrees. Okay? So you can never, that's something you cannot put down. You can't put down on paper human creativity. It's an impossibility. We don't even know what it is, actually, how it works. So it's something which is an internal phenomenon. That's Teresh Bapeh. Teresh Bapeh is an internal phenomenon. I mean, Teresh Bapeh means a Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham is a phenomenon. You can't put it down on paper. What he is. His method of thinking is it's something which exists in the soul of man, and it's chakukim aluach libchem. It's not something which you could put in writing on a piece of paper. Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah. How could there be a mesorah of internal phenomena? That's right. You're right. It's a good question. What's the answer? The answer is there's a method of the mesorah. That method begins with Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabban Shokol Yisrael, and it goes from Rav to Talmud, and all process and all relationship between the Rav and the Talmud, and it's transmitted only Ish Mipi Ish. That's the only way. Without Ish Mipi Ish, it doesn't exist. You can never have the system. Our Masorah demands Ish Mipi Ish. Now, without Ish Mipi Ish, it is non-existent. Okay. Yeah. In Torah Shebichsav, a person can understand it with the simple, ordinary method of reasoning. Teresh Bapeh is a different kind of a thing. Teresh Bapeh is a different kind of reasoning. It's a very unique kind of thought process that you have to master, you have to learn. Just like mathematics has a unique way of thinking and physics has a unique way of thinking, Teresh Bapeh has a unique way of thinking. It's especially in Teresh Bichsav, it's ordinary intelligence with the statements of the Torah that give the person the philosophy and the idea of the ideas of Yahadis. It doesn't require this special scientific method of Teresh Bapeh. It's a unique kind of a system. Halacha is a unique kind of a reality. It's a separate science in its own right. It has different parameters, different ways of thinking. It's unique in its intellectual structure. Yes. A person cannot learn Teresh Bichsav without knowing Teresh Bapeh because he doesn't know how to put it together. But you have to know how to decipher Teresh Bichsav. You need the methodology for that. That's a different aspect of the methodology, but it's not the science of halacha. The science of halacha is unique. But of course, you can't read Teresh Bichsav unless you know how you had to go about it. That's also Teresh Bapeh, of course. That's a different aspect of Teresh Bapeh. You understand what I mean? That's something else. But the ideas themselves in Teresh Bichsav are basically philosophical ideas that the human mind can understand simply based upon human intelligence. Okay? That's like the Rambam and the Maravuchim. The Rambam and the Maravuchim shows that the philosophers, many of the philosophers, had correct notions that Yadus endorses, and they did not know the science of Teresh Bapeh, but the ideas are correct. Because Teresh Bichsav really deals with man insofar as the human intelligence is concerned, and it deals with philosophical problems that a human being can understand, provided he's intelligent. He has a mind for it. But it's not a unique science. To learn the Masechta Sukkah, you have to know unique science. What is a Sukkah? And Gurasik and Lovewood, and you need to have a special method of thinking over there. It's a whole different science. But in Teresh Bichsav, it's the ordinary intellect, okay? The Tzelem Elokim, but it's not the Tzelem Elokim operating in a very specific science. But of course, you have to know the method of unraveling the Tzokim. I mean, that is true. That's part of Teresh Bapeh as well. But so you can't really separate the two totally. But they are two different types of. There are two different subjects. Two different subjects. Okay, that's why Shtei Toros. It means there's two different subjects. Okay. Based on. Yeah, exactly. When it says Ayin Tachas Ayin, and this is what the Rav said. I mean, many Mefarshim say it. I mean, the first time I heard it was from the Rav, but many Mefarshim, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's in the Rama. It's in the Rama itself. that the that really ayin tachas ayin means mammon, but the way the Rav expressed it was, had the Torah written mammon tachas ayin, it would be a false notion. They could take somebody's ayin, paying for it, and that's just. No, the answer is ayin tachas ayin is because there's no compensation for the human eye, and any person that's such a rusher, he really deserves to have his own eye taken out. That's really what ayin tachas ayin is. But in that's insofar as the Beis Din is concerned, that's impossible, even on practical logical grounds, which Mefarshim have shown. So it's impossible. But that's just to disprove the notion that the Torah ever mentioned. But anyway, but that's what it means. It means ayin tachas ayin in terms philosophically means that the person that does such a horrible deed, really the only kapar of him is that he should suffer the very same arch. But in Bezdin Shel Mato has to deal with dinim mamonis, so it's mamon tachas ayin. Okay, it's not just mamon tachas ayin. When you go into Torah Shebal Peh, it's the type of mammon and the tashlumen and the whole system and there's certain kusses and the whole system, the whole science of mishpat. Mishpat itself you have to think in categories of Torah Shebal Peh in order to understand Bava Kama. You can't just be a courtroom judge come in and understand Bava Kama. He's not going to understand what it's all about. You have to have the methodology of thinking. Okay, so I think in order to understand this parsha, we have to keep that in mind, that the parsha is written, the psukim are written on various levels. Okay. Just let me answer the question, Torah Tamimah. The answer to the Torah Tamimah's question, which is how could the pasuk say that the Oshir shouldn't give more than the poor man less, the count is going to be disrupted. The answer for that, I believe, is very simple. The answer is because the parsha contains a mitzvah ledoros, and that's the mitzvah ledoros of giving a machzis ha-shekel every year for kabbonis, and the parsha also contains another idea of what was done at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a separate thing. Ha'oshu lo yabe v'ada lo yamit is not, it wasn't a halach in that count in the time of Moshe. That was a halach ledoros, a mitzvah ledoros. Because mitzvah ledoros has nothing to do with counting. Because you see, for instance, nashim are paturim. But if nashim want to contribute, they can. The kavlam they can. So it's not a count. Ledoros has nothing to do with a count. Ledoros, it has to do simply with trumas hashkolim for the kabbanis. Okay? No, there's no counting. Wasn't a count. Wouldn't give you a count because you don't know. So that's really the answer to the Torah Tamimah's question. But that explains the halach. That's the halachic aspect of the parsha, the mitzvah ledoros. So the parsha contains the system of the Torah is when you, and that of course you need Torah Shebal Peh, as we mentioned before, in order to read the parsha. But the parsha contains many times a mitzvah. Part of the mitzvah is ledoros, and part of the mitzvah is lizman, l'shor. Okay. Zayitnu is ledoros. Okay, so the parsha is written on different levels. Okay, but I think, but what I would like to take today is not the parsha insofar as Torah Shebal Peh is concerned, but the parsha insofar as Torah Shebal Chsav is concerned. Okay, in other words, the philosophical ideas of the parsha. All right. Okay, let's take there's one step I think we have to take, the first step that opens up this parsha. The first step that opens up the parsha, and it has to do with one of the problems that we raised. The problem, namely, is that really this was what kind of trumas was it? It was trumas for Adonim, and it was trumas for the that's Machzor Shekel, and the truma was Kol Nedivleiv in order to have all those things that were necessary. It's very expensive. In Michigan, I think they estimate the menorah was about, in today's terms, about $6 million. Just the menorah alone, gold. But the very, very expensive, so you had to have the divlev. Machzor Shekel is not going to do it. So you had to have the divlev, and they had to give to the Mishkan. But interesting is, you see, that the Torah, in its open statements, doesn't really make reference to that. Okay, it's al yedei remez. The open statements really are in terms of what? Are in terms of the kabbonis. Interesting thing. Something which happened later. Okay, much later, the open statements are in terms of the Kesef HaKippurim. That's the opposite. What is the idea? This is a very important idea that can be gleaned from the way the Torah set it up. In other words, the Torah took three things and it combined them, first of all. It combined them. And then it took one which really wasn't the current issue, okay? Wasn't the pressing issue, and it emphasized that one again and again. Kofen nafsho, the pasuk says, losesis trumas ad Hashem lachaper al nafsho sechem v'lokachta as kesef hakipurim. What is that? I mean, the pasuk itself is split in half. The last pasuk. Well, lakachtas kesef kippurim meis bnei Yisrael. So kesef kippurim is what? Kesef kippurim is korbanos. The nasata asal avodas al moed. What's that? That's adonim. V'hoyel levnei Yisrael zikron lefnei Hashem lachapal nafshosechem. That's not the adonim. That's the korbanos again. So you see, the Torah switches up and back, weaves up and back, and its main emphasis is on what? Is on the kesef for the karbanos. That's an interesting thing, when one would think the emphasis should be on what actually happens in the parasha immediately, namely the adonim and the main truma. What does it show you? What does it show you? I think it shows you a very simple idea. The idea is that a person, the greatest danger for a person is when he's in a divlev. In a divlev, we do not have the idea of the idea that the world considers of nediv leiv. I mean, a dinner, and the guest of honor is a nediv leiv. Okay, that nediv leiv award, the Torah really was very worried about, that a person should think that he's a nadvan when it comes to the Mishkan, that he's a big nadvan. That's a great danger. Because that is a distortion. That's a distortion of what the role of a human being is in producing something which is a davar shebikdusha, and a davar shebikdusha of the highest level, which is the Mikdash. There's a great danger. The idea that a person must have in terms of nedivus is a very simple idea. You see, also, you notice by the egel, avodah zara. Avodah zara is very easy to make collections for. You see, it says, what did I say? His parakel vayitnuli. It happened automatically, because when it comes to avodah zara, one of the trends, and many ideas in avodah zara, but of course the basic trends in avodah zara is that the person that gives believes that he is doing something for his deity, you see, and which is going to place him in a very good state vis-a-vis that God. And this is something which the Navi riles against again. Open psukim in the Navi. What would the Navi say? What would Shmuel say to Shaula? Chayefetz on Hashem balos esvachem kim l'shmor bekol Hashem. What does it mean? It means the whole purpose is for your perfection. It's not the God. What are Yishayahu Navi says? The Navim constantly rebuke Klal Yisrael with the idea that they could do what the Ovdei Avodah Zorah do, which is the Ovdei Avodah Zorah propitiate the gods. But this idea is often brought into the human sphere in Torah as well. I mean, it's not so easy to break away from primitive notions, namely that the same idea. Okay, so he doesn't believe in Avodah Zarah; he believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's the same idea, the same concept, that he's in a div lev, and because he's in a div lev, he's giving God shochad, and he's in a very good state because of that. See, this is a very great danger in Yadus, and as I said, the psukim in the Navi, you don't have to go too far, just the psukim in the Navi, in Lama Lirov Zivchechem Yomar Hashem, Savati Olos Elim the Chel of Miriam, the Gam Kisar B'Sfilin Shemaya. I mean, the Navi always, that was really the, we don't realize, I mean, because we exist today, And it seems to us very simple, although I'll tell you the truth, it's not so simple, because in Yahadus there are different levels of performance. You can have an individual who consciously will never say such a thing, but in the lower spheres, in the underlying spheres of his mind, is really operating on such a kind of a level. So in Yahadus it's not simply enough to just reject openly certain ideas, but the person, there's a long, long way between, what does the Rambam say? The Rambam says, the Rambam quotes the Navi, the Navi says, they're very close in their lips, but far away in their hearts. Okay, that's the Navi mentions that. That's a long distance between a person says something, he says, yeah, of course, I'm not giving you, I know I can't bribe a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's one thing, that's befiv, but belave, to be able, for a person to be able to really feel that and realize that in every aspect of his emotional life, that is a very different matter, and it's a very high level to reach. Okay, so a simple Yahadus maintains that a very simple philosophy and simple idea, okay, is easy to recognize on a conscious level, but very difficult to incorporate into the total personality. That's Tomen Tiyeh Emet Hashem Elokecha. It's not an easy thing. So the Navi riles against it because of the primitivism of the taking primitive notions and applying it to Yahadus. So Yahadus over here made a point of bypassing the Kesef for the Adonim and bypassing the Kesef for the Truma. Because Truma is a very dangerous thing. It's a dangerous idea, Truma. Truma is something which causes a person to feel that he is, so to speak, ingratiated to his creator, and therefore he's in a very good position, and he's a big nadvan, and because he's a nadvan, he basically can buy his place. You could buy his place in eternity. I mean, he could buy himself Olam Haba. So that idea is a very corrupt idea in Yadus. And what the Torah recognized is that when they were going to give the money for the Adonim, and when they were going to give the money for the Truma, never mind the money for Adonim, that's not important. The important thing is to have the correct notion of what it means, Truma Sar Hashem. L'seises Truma Sar Hashem, that's the purpose. The purpose is only one. It's not because the individual can somehow buy himself favor in God's eyes, and it's not because he is a great individual, because he's a big nadvan, he's doing a great thing. There's only one benefit in the divlev. That's l'chaper al nafshasecha. That's what it is. So what the Torah did was, before it permitted the individual to give, whether it was for the Adonim or whether it was for the Mishkan, the main thing the Torah Shebechsav did was to set the philosophy straight. The philosophy is that there's only one thing. What is that? And that is that an individual, that's the Yesod. Actually, it's more than just an idea, you know, an idea that's just peripheral. It's a central idea. A central idea in what? A central idea in Middash. In Middash itself, it's a central idea. Because what is the main idea of the Middash? It's interesting. You know, the Rambam is always very careful to distinguish and to separate his philosophy from his halacha. Okay? But there is a place in Hilchas Beis HaBechira where somehow the Rambam deviates from his general rule. The Rambam, a lot of times in the end, he tells you what the philosophy is. But over here, right in the middle of Hilchas Beis HaBechira, in Perek Beis, where the Rambam discusses the Mizbeach, so what does the Rambam say? Halacha Aleph HaMizbeach Mekoma Mechuvim B'Yosef. The Mizbeach has a very specific spot. You're never allowed to move it from its spot. Okay, fine. And then he says like this.
Shamokum shebona bo David u shlomo hamizbeach begorin aravna.
Hu ha-makom shebono bo Avram ha-mizbeach v'okor lov Yitzchok, v'hu ha-makom shebono bo Noach kishe yotza min ha-teva, v'hu ha-mizbeach shehikriv olov Kain v'hevel, u'bo hikriv Adam ha-rishon korbon kishe nivra, u'mishom nivra. Amru chachomim, Adam mimekom kaparasa nivra. So it's not just a matter of philosophy, right? It's in the very halach of mizbeach. It means without this concept, there is no mizbeach. So what is the concept of mizbeach? Mizbeach is the whole migdash is mizbeach. So what is the concept of mizbeach? It's one yesod in yahadus, and that yesod is that Adam, man, is intrinsically always in need of kapara. That's the definition of Adam. It's the basic definition of Adam. Adam mimkom kaparasa nivra. It means if Adam does not understand that he is in constant need of kapara, his very existence demands kapara, then there's no mikdash, there's no mizbeach, there's no nothing. Interesting halacha. And in the first parak in Shavuos, what does the Mishnah say? That the kabonis are machaper. Which kabonis? I'm machlokes tanoim. This kabonis, but basically it's machaper al tumas mikdash v'kadoshav when he didn't know before he did lo hoda. He never finds out. He doesn't know. He absolutely doesn't know what he did. What kind of kapara is that? The answer is because built into the very system of kabonis is the idea that you must have kabonis that are constantly machaper. Tumas migdash for kadasha, because we're not roy for the migdash, so that's why you must have a built-in kapara constantly. You must even, it even requires a kapara for having a migdash. It's an amazing concept. Man is in need of kapara. His essence demands kapara. And also, the very mikdash which he builds, that itself again needs kapara. So that's why you have to have the olos, which are the chatos, rather, the chatos. Okay, it's machlokes. But the kabonis of the Yom Tovim, which are machaper for tumas mikdash v'kadosh. Constantly. Even though it's lohod, I don't know anything about it. But it's built into the structure of the system of kabonis. So really, this idea, what the Torah did was, the Torah, by writing in its unbelievable manner, what it did was, it conveyed the main idea, the yesod. The Rambam's Perek Sheni Halacha Beis is really the very halacha of Kisisos Rosh Bnei Yisrael of Kudayim. Namely, that there's no such thing as a Nediv Lev. There's no such thing as giving for Adonim. There's no such thing as giving for the Migdash. There's only one thing. The Migdash only has one purpose. It's L'chaper al Nafsho Sechem. In other words, it's basically Chesed Hashem that He gave you the opportunity for Kapar. That's really the main idea. Without that idea, the whole Migdash can become turned towards the ends of primitive idolatrous concepts. Yes. So there's two types of kapara. There's one kapara which is on an individual basis. A person who's a chote brings a carbon chatas. That's one kapara. But the other kapara is the mere recognition of the fact that you must have a migdash, because man's nature is that he's in constant need of kapara. That's why that's the mitzvah of what? That's the mitzvah of machzas hashekel. That's the mitzvah. You know, Chazal say, why machza shekel? They learn different drushes. But they say, one of the things is, because b'chatzi hayom, because the ma'isel egel. I mean, b'chapra of ma'isel egel is b'chatzi yom. What do they mean to say? They mean to say precisely what we're saying, namely, that the machza shekel is to remove a person from his primitive methods of approaching the Creator. That's basically what it is. And that's why the psukim are formulated that way. The Torah Shebichsav went out of its way to show an idea in its formula that man really, that the whole concept of Migdash, what's the concept of Migdash? The concept of Migdash, and why does everybody have to participate? Why does everybody have to give a machzor shekel? The answer is because the awareness, Migdash does something for Klal Yisrael. What does Migdash do for Klal Yisrael? It conveys one idea constantly, that man in kom kaparasa nivra. Man is in constant need of kapara. Man is always stumbling, Man is always giving in, catering to the instinctual failing in the insofar as he's capable of a higher type of existence. He's always getting drawn back into the lower existence. He's always in need of kapara. If a person doesn't have that concept, doesn't have their idea, then he can't be part of Klal Yisrael. It's an interesting thing. It's a very interesting thing. And we'll get to a little while, but you see, you weren't allowed to accept from Goyim. You were not allowed to accept the Shkolim from Goyim. Interesting thing. Only from Klal Yisrael. Not from Goyim. We'll see why. But this is really the Migdosh. This parsha of Kisisa is the Yisod, not just the Yisod of Shkolim, it's the Yisod of the whole Migdosh, of the entire Migdosh. And the emphasis was deflected from the practical need for the gold, for the Adonim, and for all the Malachas HaMishkan. It was deflected from there to the central idea and the central concept of Migdosh, which is that man is always in need of Kapar. That's the basic idea of Parsha. By the way, Ha'oshir lo yarbe v'adal lo yamit, okay, v'adal lo yamit is a halacha l'doros. Of course, the halacha also has a certain philosophical concept also. Ha'oshir lo yarbe means that the Oshir can't give more and feel that he's a greater Nidiv Leiv, and adal lo yamit means that a person can't say I'm too poor, he has an excuse. Because basically, there are two types of people. There's two parts. The human psyche has two. There's a polarity in man. Some people are drawn towards the haughty, very haughty, and the wealth and haughty, and they're arrogant. But there's another side of man also, which is on the contrary. A person has a certain kind of humility, but he feels he's nothing, he suffers, and therefore through that he has his kapar. You see, that's the dal, that's the emotions of the dal. I'm not mechuyev in this kind of guy. I have my own problems. I have enough. You see, somehow I was yetzer already. So the pasuk says, "Osher layarba," through the emotion of the haughtiness, you can't buy your way out of it. Vadal layamet. That's also not an excuse. Person has no right to say, I'm a poor person, I'm not a mechuyev, maybe she gave me enough already, I don't have to take care of this, this is not necessary. Those are just, that is just as false as the usher. Because there's a polarity in the human psyche. Person goes from elation to depression. So two different sides. Both sides are incorrect, are wrong. That's the pasuk, usher la yabra adale amit. Okay, yeah. You'll see with regard to tzedakah, it's very true. With regard to tzedakah. There's some people who give a lot of tzedakah, they give the you know, great philanthropists, and then there's some people that somehow or other feel that they're excused from this mitzvah, they're puppet. Somehow or other, they're the exceptions. The exceptions, they have enough problems, then they're not involved in this parsha. Yeah, Rav one time mentioned that, Rabbanim many times fall prey to that emotion. He says, because, you know, years ago, Rav was very poisonous. Today, Rabbanim are making bigger salaries than most people in the shul land many times. And when it comes to giving tzedakah, you don't find them giving anything. Because that's the other side. That's a dal lo yamet. That's the emotion of the dal lo yamet. It's another false emotion in man. The idea of Yahadis is that man must recognize that he's constantly in need of kapara. That's the concept. He's constantly failing. He is always in need of tshuva and always in need of kapara. Okay, yes. Okay. But now let's understand that's one aspect of the parsha. Okay? But it's not the first pasuk. The first pasuk is with the counting and with the magefa. And with v'loyeva negef pifkodos, and what's got to do with this? What shall I do with this? That's the thing that David HaMelech apparently didn't understand. So what was the story with David HaMelech? What went on over there? So let's take a look. In the as I said, I mean, you have the advantage of the Navi over here, the way he counted the people. See an interesting thing. It says an interesting thing. When you look at that parsha, you see that there's something going on there. It's not simply like people think on a simplistic level. I mean, that somehow or other you count people, some mystical curse is going to fall upon them. I mean, it's very, very far from anybody reads the parsha. See, you can see right away that there's a deep idea here. This is not just a nonsensical notion of counting causes a curse. The psukim in Shmuel Beis Chavdalet, Vayosef Afar Hashem Lachros B'Yisrael. Okay, that was after the mice with the Givonim. They had 3 years of hunger. So it says, Vayoseh says, David bohem lemo, leich mnei Yisrael ves Yehuda. So God instigated David to count the, so to speak, to count the, it doesn't mean, of course, literal. It means the Chazal said it was the Satan. It means the Yetzar, but everything ultimately comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayomer melech al Yoav, sar ha'chayil ha'shvetim, shut no bechol shiftei Yisrael midan v'ad be'er shova, fig tu esu om, v'yadati es mispar ha'om. I want to know the number of the people. Vayomer Yoav el ha'melech. Interesting. Yoav usually was right with David ha'melech. He did anything for David ha'melech. Over here he wasn't too quick. The Yosef Hashem Elokecha Laom Kohen V'Kohen Mei Apomin V'Enei Adon Yemelech Ros. He says God should increase the nation by many times, and the Melech should witness this. V'Adon Yemelech Lama Chafetz V'Davar Hazeh. Why do you want to do this? Amazing thing. Yoav never won against David. Always, no matter what. V'Yechazak Devar HaMelech El Yoav. But David HaMelech kept pressing. V'Alsori HaChoyel V'Yetzi Yoav V'Sor HaChal L'Fnei HaMelech Lufkot Es Ha'om Es Yisrael. David HaMelech still went ahead and did it anyways. Okay, so then it says, it gives you the count and what happened. Then all of a sudden it says V'Yach Leiv David Oso Acharei Chein Safar Es Ha'om. But he was smitten in his heart after he did that. Vayomer David al Hashem, Chatasi Ma'od Asher Asisi. Okay, I sinned very much what I did. V'atar Hashem Haver No Asavon Avdecho Ki Niskalti Ma'od. He says, remove my sin because I was very foolish. Vayakam David Baboker Dvar Hashem Hoyel Goranovi Chozer David Lemar. So then Goranovi came to him, and as you know, he gave him a choice of three options. Okay, and it was either to have a rov, or else to be to be defeated by the enemies, or else a magefa. So that's vayomer David Tzali Mod Nitlona Biyada Hashem Ki Rabim Rachamav Biyada Adam Alapola. So Adam made a choice. Stranger story. Adam made a choice. Chazal say, why did he make that choice? Because he felt that if he takes the other two, then people are going to say, if he takes, for instance, Rav, so I'll say, of course, not going to bother him. He's wealthy. Wealthy people. If he takes the choice of being smitten by the enemy, he'll say, yeah, powerful warriors don't have to worry. They'll make it. So he took something which was equal to the entire arm, namely my gayfoot. There's no difference. So that was his choice. Okay? Then it says, that's a pasuk. Okay, 77,000. Vayomer David al Hashem Barosa la Malacha Makevom Vayomer Hinei Noch Chatosi Venochi Avesi Veila Tzon Meosu Tino Yot Chobi Beves Ovi Vayomer God al David Vayomer Hu Vayomer Alei Hakim Hashem Mizbeach Begoren Aravno Hayavusi. Interesting whole story is an interesting amazing story. It was the Goren of this Yavus. Chazal say was a Ger Tzedek. So it says Vayashkef Aravno. It's a funny hour. System like it. Suddenly in this Aravna Yavusi. Vayas Melech Zvodav Ovrma Lo Vayetze Aravna Yishtach Lo Melech Paim Arzo. So he bowed to the king and he paid him, okay? And then it says, and what did he do over there? So it says, Vayam Melech Al Aravna Lo Chikano Ekna Meoscha Vemchiv Lo Ale Lo Rishem Elekaya Lo Schinam. So he bought it from him. Vayiven Shom David Mizbeach La Rishem Vayal Olo Sishlomim Amazing parsha. What is the parsha? The parsha deals with obviously with a chait, with the chait of David HaMelech. What was his chait? Of course, it's based on the pasuk from Yevan Negev, but really he wasn't over the pasuk because that was a mitzvah l'shah. It wasn't a mitzvah l'doros. It was a mitzvah l'shah. He didn't say as much as could have. That's it. But there was something in that mitzvah which he failed to see, which he failed to recognize, and which caused the tragedy. But it's an interesting thing. It's something which caused the tragedy, but there was something which was a way out of the tragedy, which was a kapara. It's an interesting thing when you follow this through. Very interesting thing. Okay, so Chazal say the idea. I mean, not Chazal. I mean, it's obvious in the Pesukim, basically. We don't know too much from the Navi. But one thing you do know, that for some reason, David HaMelech wanted to count the people. Chazal say that whenever the Jews were counted for a reason, so it was good. Not for no reason, it was bad. Basically, the Ramban says you're not allowed to have a census in Kol Yisrael. From these Pesukim, not allowed to have a census. You never let it go around and see how many Jews are in the world. Not allowed to make a census like that. That's what Yoav said. Yosef Arashim Kohina V'Chahina. Okay? What does it mean? It means like this. See, David HaMelech was, at that time, he was troubled. He was very disturbed. He was troubled. So what did he... I mean, we can only know why... The details of this, we can't know, but the general picture the Navi gives you. He was disturbed. And what did he want to do? What would remove the... Something was bothering him. Emotionally, something was bothering him, and he was looking for a remedy. The remedy was to see what the power of the nation is. Okay? That's a melech. A melech was always concerned about the nation. We don't know what his concerns were at that time. Maybe he saw problems in the future. He didn't know. But he wanted to have the security, the mental security of assessing the power of the nation. That's what he was disturbed. He was plagued or something, and it's like a person who's depressed, momentarily depressed. So what do they try to do? They try to assess their resources. Okay, assess the, what are the good things that I have. I mean, how do I? So you look for different things. A person might check how much money am I worth? How's my business doing over here? Various checks in order to see where he's at. Where he's at in the world. To assess his strengths. Okay, assess his strengths. A person's depressed, they feel weak, they feel inferior. David HaMelech, at that moment, was plagued with feelings of insecurity. And in order to overcome the insecurity, he wanted to see what the strength of the nation is. So therefore, what did he do? So he instructed Yoav to count the nation. Okay, to count the nation. Now, what was the chait? So what's wrong with that? I mean, aren't we realistic? Don't we maintain that there is such a thing? What's such a terrible chait? What's so wrong with that? So you have a nation, you see peril in the future, so you assess your strengths. How much are you? You know, you have an idea. We're rational people. We believe in Chachma. What was this terrible chait over there? What was so bad? Okay. So, you see, apparently, and David HaMelech realized it later, that it was a big mistake. What was the mistake? The mistake was that idea of assessing the nation in a manner which every other nation would do in order to see what, realistically, how powerful it was. And you see, it was a matter of how powerful it was, because it mentions the Vati Shmona Elef Ish Chayil Sholef Cherev. The issue the Chamesh Meos Elefish. So it was to see how strong the nation was. So what's wrong with that? What was wrong with that was it was a statement. The statement was that Klal Yisrael can be viewed just like any other nation. For every other nation, it's fine. That's the right thing to do. Because you have to see realistically where you are in the world. I mean, you have to know. But for Klal Yisrael, it's wrong. Because that would mean that Klal Yisrael is a nation like every other nation, and that Klal Yisrael is a physical phenomenon and not a metaphysical phenomenon. You see, the idea of assessing the strength of the nation by numbers, it doesn't exist for Klal Yisrael. As a matter of fact, that's what the Ramban says, you're not even allowed to have a census. Because Yosef Arashem Kohina V'Chahina, what does it mean? It means to say that the numbers, if we were a physical entity alone, then numbers would be good. Because a physical entity is subject to the category of quantity. But Klal Yisrael's existence is a metaphysical existence. And since it's a metaphysical existence, you cannot derive that same kind of satisfaction out of the realistic strength of the nation based upon the military features, you see, that an ordinary nation can. Because an ordinary nation is under simply under the sway of Hashgacha Klolius. And that's a correct way to make some kind of an assessment. But if you do that in Klal Yisrael, it's a chet. Because that's not the underlying existence of Klal Yisrael. It's not contingent upon that. That's the whole idea of the Aman Nivchor. The whole idea of the Aman Nivchor means that it's under a special Hashgacha. So why should you be satisfied? That should not really remove the problem. That shouldn't have given David HaMelech the satisfaction that he was looking for. And when he got it, it's amazing, when he, after he did it, you see, the moment he did it, then he realized that he made a mistake. You see, it's interesting. It just says, it tells him much, then it says, Vayach leiv David oso achrechein sofar asa'am. Why? Because the moment he got the satisfaction, he realized that was a big mistake. The satisfaction tipped him off that he made a big mistake there. Something wrong with this. He sensed there's something wrong with this kind of satisfaction. This satisfaction is saying that Klal Yisrael is not a metaphysical phenomenon. And once he realized it, he said, that's why he said that, Chotasi ma'od asher asisi, v'atar Hashem haven asa on of dacha, kineskalti ma'od, because I was very foolish, because I denied a certain principle and I allowed myself a satisfaction which is inappropriate. He realized that. But what was the way out? What was the remedy for his chait? Interesting. The remedy for the chait was Mizbeach. That's what the Malach Hashem, directed him to. And where was this Mizbeach? In the Goren of some Yavus. Why in the Goren of that Yavus? Because that's what the Rambam says. That's Mimokom Kaparoso. Because that's where Adam was never from. Kayin v'hevel makrav kabonis. Noach was makrav over there. Har hamoriyah. What does it say in Divrei Hayomim? In Divrei Hayomim, you see, by the, you have Divrei Hayomim. Give me Divrei Hayomim. Divrei Hayomim, where it says that Shlomo Melech is over there. In Divrei Hayomim, where it says that Shlomo, it's a pasuk in the Navi, where it says that the Shlomo built the the Migdash. So it says. Divrei Yom Beis Gimel Vayochel Shlomo Livnos is Beis at Hashem B'Yerushalayim, where Bahar HaMoriah, where Asher Nira LeDavid Oviyu Asher Heichin Bimkom David Begoren Arnon Hayavusi. What does the pasuk tell you? It tells you an interesting yisod. It tells you that the yesod of Klal Yisrael being under the Hashgacha is tied to one idea. What's the idea? That Klal Yisrael recognizes that Odom is in constant need of Kapara. That's the whole Migdosh. That's the Mizbeach. That is the Kapara. And that is the Hashgacha. V'asuli Migdosh v'shachanti b'sachem. What does it mean? It means that that Klal Yisrael, when the Migdosh is there, is under a special Hashgacha. And why is it under the Hashgacha? Because it's a metaphysical phenomenon. But when? Only if there's the idea among the nation that the nation is, that's the two things. Lo yivahem neget b'fkodosam, that the nation is a metaphysical phenomenon, that's one. And the second idea, why is it a metaphysical phenomenon? L'seisis trumas ad Hashem l'chaper al nafsho seichem v'lakachta es kesef ha-kipurim. The Kesef HaKippurim is what makes the Klal a metaphysical phenomenon, and that's why Kisisus Rosh B'nei Yisrael Lefkudehem V'nosnu Ish Kofer Nafsho V'lo Yevahem Neget Befkodosam. Basically, in that parasha in Kisisa, the ideas of the very essence of Klal Yisrael are expressed in these two themes. The theme that Klal Yisrael is a metaphysical phenomenon, not subject to quantity, and you cannot assess them and evaluate their military strength and feel security based upon that. Of course, we're rational. What does Chazal say? Chazal say, when is it good to count them? It's good to count them for a reason. Yeah, we have to go out to war. You have to do it. We're rational people. But just to count them to see how many we are, then you're saying that you're just an ordinary nation. That's why the Goyim can't give any the Goyim cannot give the Shmachtzes HaShekel. Why can't the Goyim give Machtzes HaShekel? Because the Goyim live under the laws of chance, and the idea of Machtzes HaShekel doesn't apply to them. Machtzes HaShekel is only for the nation that is a metaphysical phenomenon. Why? Because L'chaper es al nafsho sechem. That concept. They have that concept. That's the concept of Middosh, and that's the concept of Ashgacha, and that's why that's why you cannot. There's no idea of counting, just like this. It's interesting. Chazal say it says kisisa saw as rosh. There's a funny medrash. Ramban quotes the medrash, says it's just like the katisnar. He says to the executioner. He says executioner saw as rosh, chop that guy's head off. So Ramban says, I don't understand why it's saw as rosh is supposed to be a good thing. Saw as rosh. So he says, but the Medrash says, what the Medrash means is like this, because there's another Medrash that says it has to do with Rosh Hashanah, Yisa Paro es Rosh Hashivcha Kanecha, and the other one that was the son of Mashkim, Sarvin Yisa Paro es Rosh Hameyalecha. So it means there's two types of counting. There's a counting which is a counting for Gedula. That's where the counting is a designation for a purpose, for Akamas and Mishkan, for the purpose for Ashrosh Shchina. Then it's Suas Rosh. Then it's Yisur Par Ashrosh Vashivchal Kanecha. But if it's a counting because you want to estimate in a physical way what the nation is, then it's like the executioner. It says Suas Rosh, take his head off, chop his head off. Yes. David Melch raised the same question. But if you look at the Mefarshim, the Mefarshim really answer it. Because they want to say that one of the things that bothered David Melch, one of the reasons that he himself was bothered so much, was disturbed, was because he knew there were certain averis that were going on bitzina among the nation. He sensed that this, it wasn't just the fear of an army coming and taking over. It wasn't just a military security type of fear. It was more to it. He sensed that there was some averis among the nation that was going on the tzina. So apparently, the nation was chayav. The nation was chayav. But many times, a person, like you see, what is Pasuk? Pasuk says that poked avon avos al bonim al shileishim val ribayim. What does that mean? That means to say that the oven of the father is visited on the offspring. So what does it mean? I mean, it means to say that if the offspring goes in the ways of the father, he can get the onus of the father also. It means if he didn't have such a father, he wouldn't get such an onus. So you see, the onshim work in a funny way. It doesn't necessarily mean, it doesn't always work. It's not simply that everybody gets exactly, not a simple plan. You have to learn the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva, where Kadosh Baruch Hu has done the world is very complex. And many times, if a person is a Rasha, so he will get the chait of the father. It means to say, if the father didn't exist, he wouldn't suffer this punishment. But now that he does, and he is not outside of that realm, he can get an onus from the father. I mean, you see, it's a pasuk in the Torah. So over here, had the melech not been a chote, the Yom wouldn't have suffered. But the fact that the Yom did suffer shows you that they were roy for an onus also. Yes. Yeah, that's a good point. The fact v'loyeva negef, it means like this. It means, you see, a magefa is the negative of the ashgacha. That's what a magefa is. On the contrary. Yeah. Exactly. So it means to say that you're trying to assess the nation in a realistic way in order to know where the nation stands. So that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a magefa to show that you're under the hashgacha, and when you do a chait, you lose. That's really v'hoya b'cha. That's the Kabbalah Satorah b'olah b'shvua. That's v'hoya b'cha l'osu l'mofes, which means to say that Klal Yisrael could never just place themselves like other nations. They'll say, "We'll abandon the Torah. Now let's go according to the laws of chance." Okay, so we won't have the benefits of Torah, but that's not true, because you don't have the benefits. But then you're going to suffer the consequences of the negative ashgacha. That's v'lo yivahem negev. If they try to evaluate themselves in a practical, realistical, just logical way, so then that won't work either. Then on the contrary, then they'll receive an onesh which will break the very emotion that they're striving for, which is to have the security. The worst, the greatest breakdown of a security is magefa. Magefa is like a helpless, and you can't do anything about it. So the opposite result takes place. Actually, it's really a bracha, because it's a bracha, because it gives the nation an awareness of the fact that they are under hashgacha. Not just, they can't live according to the laws of chance like other nations. So the magefa is a bracha. Every onish is always a bracha. But the bracha is to bring them back to the realization that they are under hashgacha, and therefore they can't treat this nation like you would treat an ordinary nation. It's a different kind of an entity. Different kind of entity. The idea of giving tzedakah is very much tied to that concept, because v'chanun avazos means that if a person, I mentioned many times, if people say that they're going to give tzedakah and v'chanun avazos, and therefore God's going to give them endless money, and then they see what happens is it doesn't work. They lost their money. How could this be? Now the answer v'chanun avazos, you have to read the rest of the psukim in the Navi, which states clearly, it says v'akasachem brachad b'li die. There has to be a die there. In other words, there has to be enough. Has to be a schum that he knows that this is all he needs. But if it's endless pursuit of money, then there's no that's not the bargain. There's no that's not true, and it doesn't work. It's only if the person has a realistic notion concerning the money. But if it's for his own arrogance and his own ego, which is endless, infinite pleasure and enjoyment, then it doesn't work. I mean, the Navi says it.
I know
it is. Yeah, Eli mentioned the Mishnah in Priests, Perek Vav. So the Gemara says, Mishnah says, Mishnah Devaram Asham Toli B'chol Yom B'chol Shosh Yirtza. V'hu Nikra Asham Chassidim. Amar Olav Abodha Ben Buti. Shehoi Mishnah Dev Asham Toli B'chol Yom. Okay, let's mach him and confirm your mind. So you see, I mean, the concept was that was Midas Chassidus. The person is in constant need of kapara. That's the idea.
It's good.
Chazal and Pesachim, Dafnin Dalin Amar Aleph, that the Migdash was created before Bias Olam. That's one of the things that the... because it means to say before Bris Olam means it's intrinsically necessary. It wasn't something that came later because of a specific need. It's an intrinsic need in man. Okay. Shkech, let's couple. Shkech. I wanted to add something. Shmuley asked a good question at the end of the last year on Pashas Kesisa. So really today I just wanted to add the answer to that question. I think it's an important yesod in Yahadus. And it's the whole hashkafas olam of Yadus in terms of what Adam is. And I think the question is an important one. But briefly, what we said last time was how we explained the Parshas Kisisa. So we explained the Tarsha B'Chsav and the different Tarsha B'Chsav and the Tarsha Baal Peh. And we explained how the psukim sort of weave in and out mitzvah l'doros and the philosophy and the hashkafa of what shkolem is, what shkolem represents. And basically, I mean, what we said was that according to the Torah, that in order to be a nadvan, for a person to be a nadvan, to give something to the institution of Yahadus, like Migdash, Mishkan, or even, I mean, even it would apply, of course, philosophically apply to an institution of Torah, any institution of Torah. Any Torah institution would be the same phenomenon. Namely, that to be a nadvan, you need a matir. You have to have a matir. A person is not a benefactor of Torah. Okay? And really, the matir is that the Nesina is always the Torah's kapara. The Nasan Kofar Nafsha is the Nasnuish Kofar Nafsha Lad Hashem B'Kodosu. So the whole concept of being a benefactor to institutions of Torah, institutions of Yahadus, especially Migdash and Mishkan, requires a matir. Because there are really two dangers over there, two dangerous ideas. One idea is that the person, one idea is that the person thinks in his mind that he is he's a benefactor, and it caters to a complete distortion of the relationship between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and him in Torah, and him in mitzvahs. So no one really is a benefactor when it comes to the institutions, when it comes to the institution of Torah. So one thing is that the person cannot think in his mind that he's a benefactor of Torah, and therefore he deserves a certain position. He's helping, so to speak. I mean, as if he's helping God. I mean, this is a corrupt notion. There's no such idea. But basically, that is the notion of religion all over the world. You know, that is the notion. That's the notion, the exact notion that Yahadus uproots. There's no such thing. And the second idea is really that that the individual can somehow or other appease God through giving something to an institution of Yahadus. And those two ideas are represented in the pasuk Asher lo yarbev adal lo yamet. Two different types of personalities, opposite sides of the coin, basically. One is the concept of the Asher, that he feels that he's a strong personality and he's a benefactor, and the other one is the opposite side, where the person feels he's a dal, he's weak, and this way he's so to speak doing an activity. Which in the primitive sense, I mean, that's the idea of idolatry, the idolatrous idea of propitiating the gods, so to speak. I mean, that's the idea of Avodah Zarah. And basically, that has been the battle of Yahadus all the way through, from the beginning of Bereishis straight through to the end of Nevi'im. The Nevi'im speak about it very, very extensively. So that's why when a person gives, according to Yahadus, that's what we show from the parsha, basically, a nadvan requires a matir. In order to be a nadvan, you must have the matir. And the matir is kofer nafsho. The nosnu is kofer nafsho. And of course, the halacha in its usual manner. That's why the Torah Shvachsav doesn't mention about about giving to the Mishkan, like it says later in Vayakam and Pekudei, that they all brought, So that's really, they were collecting for the Mishkan, but the danger of being a Nadvan required the matir of the Machzis HaShekel. And the matter of the Machzis HaShekel, it works with the usual manner of halacha, that the halacha itself, I mean, is the matter. In other words, the koloshen nodvarucho also is very nice, but if the nodvarucho is in the wrong framework, so it's worthless. So therefore, the halacha had to stipulate a specific amount to be machai of the gavra, so the gavra, that takes away the whole concept that he's a nadvan. I mean, Allah stipulates a very specific amount, ha'ashir lo yarbev adal lo yamit, which means to say there's no recognition of any individual in terms of his own personal worth, but it's equal, and it's a machzis hashekel. Chazal say, why machzis hashekel? I say machzis hashekel because it's a remes to the cheta ego, because the cheta ego was b'emtza hayom. So there again, you see, that kind of a nesina is the idolatrous nesina. The machzis hashekel is mafkia from that kind of a nesina. Also, I mean, the fact that it's a... That's when they were involved in the chet, midday. They waited 6 hours, and they said, Moshe is not coming. That was the whole beginning of the eagle. Yes. So, yeah. I think also the idea of Machzis HaShekel is that it's not a person who has an egoistic satisfaction out of something always looks to relate it to a davar mesuyim, a complete entity. I gave something. I gave something. A machzas shekel is really doesn't give a person that satisfaction. That's why Allah says a machzas shekel in any medina. At least he gave a shekel, he could feel like gave something. But machzas means it's not even a davar mesuyim. I mean, it's not even something which I could be proud about that I gave something. I mean, it's a half of something. it's not even a davar mesuyim. That I think also is the concept of machzas shekel. I mean, brings out in a person's mind. Okay, but Shmuley asked a good question on the whole idea of kofar nafsha, which is an important question. What is the concept of kofar nafsha? Which means to say that I have to give something which is a kapara for my very nature. And I quoted the Rambam, where the Rambam says that Adam mimikom kaparasa nivra. Man was created from the very place where his kapara eventually was taken, which is the very offer. Like the Rambam says, the spot of the Mizbeach is very precise. You can't move it around, it can't be changed. There are different things that don't have to be precisely in that spot. I mean, there are different changes that were made in the Migdash, and the dimensions of it, in Yecheskel, different changes. Certain things can be done. They saw Pinavua, certain things were done. But the makam ha-mizbeach cannot be changed. Because that is the idea. That's the very essence of mizbeach. The very essence of mizbeach is mimikom kaparasa. So Shmuley has a good question. The question is that, do you want to say it? Tell me if I got it right. The question is that it seems to be, that it's an intrinsic contradiction. Why? Because if you tell me that that's the nature of man, is to be a chote, okay, so then, I mean, that's his nature. What does he come par for? That's what he is. It sounds like a logical circle. I mean, if that's what I am, so then that's my essence. So why do I have to have kapara for that? That's my nature. It's on the contrary. Where's the chait? Okay, and it's interesting because when you say that idea, and that's even on Odom, even kodom achait, basically, even kodom achait. It's an interesting thing. Even Odom kodom achait. That that man was created from the place of kapara, which means that kapara is really a part of built in him. Before he starts, he's a chote already. I mean, it sounds contradictory. So that's what he is. So what do you want from him? I mean, that's his nature. Baruch Baruch Hu created him. Minkom kaparaso nivra means that he was created in this way. So it means to say that God created a being that's an intrinsic sinner. So, what kind of kapara is he for that? I mean, it's not his fault. His creator made him that way. Yeah. It's an important question. It's an important question. And I think that question really is one. And then somebody asked me, mentioned, last time also about the Lahavdil, what the Goyim called original sin. You know, are we saying the same thing? That Adam Arishon, I mean, was a chote, was original sin? It sounds like a similar kind of idea. I mean, the Havdil, I mean, there's no comparison whatsoever. But I'm going to show why it is that way, okay, based upon pursuing what Shmuley's question. Yeah. Yeah. I think the answer to that question is really a... opens up the whole yesod of the way Yahadus looks at man and his relationship to God, and the whole das of Yahadus as it's distinguished from any other das in the world. And that is, I mean, this is something which, I mean, I know it's a difficult thing for a person to take, but it's something which I think there's nothing more important than being able to think about and to contemplate this concept, and that is that Yahadus, the idea of Chet and Yahadus, and the idea of sin among the nations is two different things. You see, the idea of sin among the nations is a concept of, is a subjective kind of phenomenon. It's a subjective phenomenon. The subjective phenomenon comes about because of what Avodah Zarah really is, in essence. And that's what the Navi said, I read yesterday. That the Navi describes Avodah Zarah, and he shows basically what the Navi says about Avodah Zarah. Yesterday's Haftarah, we went through this once before, where the Navi really shows, basically what the Navi says about Avodah Zarah is really not that Avodah Zarah is evil so much, but it's basically it's stupid. That's really what the Navi says. That the Avodah Zarah is the height of stupidity. And that's what it was. The Navi first he shows that the Navi shows if you take a look, it's in Yeshayahu's Mem Gimel, it's in yesterday's Haftarah, Pasuk Yud Beis. Chorash Barzel Matzor to fall Bapechem of Makovos Yitzreyu Vayifolehu Bizroa Kocho. Okay, Chorash Etzim Not a Kov Yitoreyu Basered Yaseyu Bemaktuos Uvamachugo Yisoreyu Vayaseyu Kisavnis Ish Kisaferas Odom Lasheves Boyes. Okay, so the Navi shows how this Oved Avodah Zarah uses all kinds of tools, uses his rationality to create the Avodah Zarah. And then he says, Af Yifal El Vayishtochu Aso Fesel Vayizgad Lomo. Then he bows down and he makes it into a god. And then the Navi goes on to say that half of the wood he takes and uses for his food. Okay, which means a practical thing, the Yizba. And then Usha'eriso, and the other half of the wood, La'el also lefislo, Yizgadlo v'yishtachu v'yispalelo v'yomra hatzileni ki eliyota. So the Navi is like astounded how man could be rational on one side, and on the other side, lapse into total irrationality. That same piece of wood that he recognizes with his mind as an object that one should use according to reason, as an object of reason. That same piece of wood he takes and he says, "Eliyata." He says, "This is his God," which is a complete lapse out of the rational. A man can be so contradictory. I mean, this is really what the Navi is pointing out. It's not something from years ago in primitive Avodah Zarah. It's something which exists today at the highest degree. I mean, you see people, I've read things from people that are scientists and in high positions who believe when it comes to their religion, they accept the most crass stupidity and nonsense without any kind of intellectual investigation whatsoever. The mind of man, what the Navi is pointing out is that a human being is capable of living basically a schizophrenic existence. In other words, insofar as one area he uses rationality, insofar as another area he lapses completely into the ridiculous, into the absurd, and it can happen to the greatest intellect. Basically, what the Navi is saying to the people is that don't be impressed with an individual who is very intelligent, who knows all the sciences and uses geometric tools. He's a very intellectual person. Don't be impressed with him. This same individual could be the most idiotic and stupid person when it comes to another area of his mind. I mean, and that's something which is, Christianity has always tried to fool people by taking individuals who had high academic achievements, that they were recognized for, and they always try to show that these people believe. I mean, that's what the Navi really is warning the people. I mean, Thomas Aquinas, who was a great mind without a doubt, but when it came to his religion, he was totally ridiculous and idiotic and stupid, basically. That's what the Navi points out. The Navi points out it's an unbelievable phenomenon in man. I mean, that's what he's trying to show. He says, Lo yadu v'lo yavinu. Okay, kitach meros einehem mehaskil libosam, because because they can't see and they can't understand, and they're completely blocked when it comes to using chachma. V'lo yoshev elibo v'lo das v'lo sevuno lemor chetzio sarafti v'moesh v'af afisi al gachol av lechem etzla vosa v'ochel v'yisro l'so evo esa l'vul eitz esgod. How is it possible? It's the highest stupidity. So that's what the Navi says. Roa Eifel Elev Husalito V'lo Yatzeles Nafsho V'lo Yomar Halo Sheker B'yamini. This is Sheker. This is nonsense. Basically, that's what the Navi, and the Navi speaks about Avodah Zarah. It always talks about Avodah Zarah as the part of man that refuses to make use of his Tzelem Elokim, and simply reverts back to the most primitive type of activity. Same individual. The individual is philosophically schizophrenic, philosophical. That's what the Navi says. But the key of the whole, what is the whole scene that's behind this? That's what the Navi identifies in the pasuk before, where he says that Vayaseu Kisavnis Ish Kiseferes Odom Lasheves Boyes. Where does this come from? This comes from the fact that this person is looking for a human god. That's where it comes from. That's what the Navi identifies, the whole root of the problem. And once man is engaged in such a kind of activity, so then his whole system of Schar V'Onesh is a completely different one. That's the primitive system. The primitive system of Schar V'Onesh. Was I good to my god? Was I not good to my god? That is the whole thing. His whole life revolves around that idea. Can I pay off my God, or did I not do things that'll cause him to be happy with me? You see, the whole primitive notion, the whole primitive system of Schar V'Onesh, is the very root and the very essence of Avodah Zarah. And Yehada says exactly the opposite. Many times, the Ramban. Rambam quotes the psukim and many psukim of Tov Loch and pasuk in Iyuv. I mean, the whole idea is to Yehadis is abhorrent to Yehadis. So in what does Yehadis set up? What's the system of Yehadis? The system of Yehadis is one that's very difficult for a person to grapple with on an emotional basis. Very difficult, because our whole upbringing, from early on, early youth, lends itself to that kind of distorted view of God. I mean, from the time the person is a child. And Yehadis really demands of man one thing, that he reaches a level of maturity and can... That is the whole battle in Yehadis. For man to be able to reach a level where everything is only Chachmas Hashem, and there's nothing else, absolutely nothing else. That's the level of Yehadis demands of a person. But in setting out the concept of Schar V'Onesh in Yehadis, it has nothing. It is not a subjective idea. You didn't do anything against God. Basically, you cannot do anything against God. Neither can you do anything for God. I mean, These ideas are idolatrous. What is all? But what does Yehadis say instead? Yehadis says instead that there's a way of life which is a way of life of Adam, Tzelem Elokim, and there's a way of life which is Chet. What is Chet? Not the subjective idea that you were bad. I mean, you did something bad. I mean, that's an idea for in a human framework, like a child in a class. You did something bad to the teacher. The teacher was disturbed because the teacher has certain objectives and certain goals. But with relationship to our Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's no such thing. There is only an objective situation of chait. What is chait? Chait is when man caters to the instinctual. If man lives the life of the instinctual, then he's a chote. If a man lives the life of chachma, then he's a tzaddik. That's the difference, plain and simple. Why do people have difficulty with this? I'll tell you why people have difficulty with this. Because people think, well, what about an individual who lived somewheres and never heard about Torah and never knew anything, and he lived an instinctual life simply because he didn't have an opportunity? He didn't have an opportunity to know what the truth is. I can understand if a person knew. He has the Torah, he has Moshe Rabbeinu, he has the whole system. Fine. But an individual who had no way of knowing, so why is he culpable? Why should he be blamed? Why should we say that life is a life of hate? That's the question that comes to everybody's mind, okay? Yahadus demands one thing, that we simply forget about that question. That's it. I mean, it's a difficult task. It's a difficult task because that is a type of thinking that is ingrained in our makeup on an instinctual level. It's ingrained. And it's something which everyone feels comfortable with. Everyone will feel very comfortable if the system of Schar V'Onesh was nothing more than a replica of the system that a teacher uses with students. Okay? I mean, same, if that were the people would love such a system, because it's something which a person feels he is familiar with. He's familiar with that kind of an idea. It makes sense to him. But Yahadus comes along and says, that makes sense because of your previous experiences. Doesn't make sense in a really rational way. Because in a rational way, the replica is absurd, is ridiculous, because God doesn't need us, and we can't do anything for him, neither can we do anything against him, and this whole idea is crazy. It just doesn't make any sense. So Yahadus demands that a person look at life and Schar V'Onesh in a totally objective way. In an objective way. That's the Yesod of Yahadus. It's a difficult. Is it right away? Well, how about this person, that person? It's not his fault. Is his fault? It's not his fault. You see? The answer is, Yahadus says, it makes no difference. That's not your business. Has nothing to do with anything. And this should not be something that is involved in your whole mode of function and mode of operation when you're seeking to follow the Derech HaTorah and the Derech of Perfection. You must completely forget about that. It doesn't make any difference. That's God's cheshbon. It has nothing to do with you. What you have to know is, what is chait? What is evil? And what is good? What is evil is what is objectively evil. Not subjectively. Subjectively meaning you vis-a-vis God. But objectively, there's a certain kind of lifestyle that is evil. That's the one that caters to the instincts and to the emotions. And the one that is good is the one that caters to Chochmah, to the Tzelem Olekim, and to ultimately to Yedias Hashem. That's what it is. Yedias Hashem, just think about it. Yedias Hashem. What does it mean? It means that a person is on a level where all he is interested in is knowledge of the Creator. Okay? I mean, I know when I say these things that, you know, we are far from it, but I think we have some concept, at least, of what it is. So what does a person like that do? How does he spend his time? That's really basically the description of Moshe Rabbeinu. Asura Noveras, Amara Godlazem, Adula Yivrasna. I mean, that's Moshe Rabbeinu in his height, in one of the greatest nevuah, certainly the greatest personal nevuah that the Torah records. Okay? So what kind of a person is that? What is the greatness in that scene? He simply is moved by an intellectual problem, even the way the Torah describes it, that any simpleton can understand it. Okay? I mean, we know it's much deeper. It was a deep metaphysical problem. But the surface, the way the Torah describes it on the surface, that any person can understand is simply Asura the Haine Asne Bor Ba'esh Vasne Nenuko. Causality. It's a problem of causality. How could this be? Where's the cause? Asura Novera Samara Godlaze Madua Lo Yivasne. He couldn't understand the causality involved in what he was witnessing. So does that appeal when you think back to the other system, okay? The infantile system. Is that a great person? He's following simply his intellectual curiosity. Why should a person like that be rewarded Why should this be the greatest thing? He's not doing anything, coercing himself to do anything for God. He's not coercing himself to do a religious action. He's simply involved automatically, spontaneously, in pursuit of knowledge, of an idea. Okay? Doesn't fit into the framework. Does not. The Yahadis, the perfection of man, does not fit into that model, that mold of, as I said before, of the teacher and the student. This would not be considered great. Great would be a person that's saying, great, okay, Moshe Rabbeinu took upon himself all the to go and to do for quality.